is entitled Temperature Effects on Appresorial Formation of Colitotrichum cereale by Yunlong Wang and James Kearns of University of Wisconsin, with Yunlong Wang presenting.
Morning, everyone. This is the part of my master project. So the pathogen Colitotrichum cereale, it causes turf grass anthracnose on cool season turf grasses, and it was previously classified as Colitotrichum graminicola, but now renamed Colitotrichum cereale. And Colitotrichum graminicola is now used to designate the pathogen that causes anthracnose on corn only. The picture showed the high-line banana or cannoli-shaped conidia, and the most distinctive diagonal key, the fruiting body, a cereuli with black protruding city. Anthracnose is a destructive disease and can occur on nearly all cool season turf grass species worldwide, and it is especially problematic on intensely managed annual bluegrass and creeping benchgrass putting greens. All suggest all factors that stress the plants, like inadequate fertility, excessive traffic and heat, drought, or something like that, can favor the disease development in terms of incidence and severity both. Standard symptoms typically develop as patches in the field range from 1 inch to up to 3 feet in diameter, associated with the discoloration of leaf tissue and declining in shoot density. Crown tissue of infected plants appears dark brown to black, often rotted and water-soaked. Leaf lesions may also develop, and a cereuli can be found within the infected areas. This is a general disease cycle for all Colitotrichum species, but it also applies to turfs. And we can see that the pathogen overwinters as mycelia or conidia in plant debris. One conducive environment come back, the pathogen forms the cereuli, produces numerous conidia, and the conidia are either airborne or rain splashed onto the host surface, where they attach, germinate, and form appresoria to penetrate the host cells. After that, it undergoes a very brief biotrophic stage without being detected by the host, followed by a really destructive necrotrophic stage. And again, when the environment is conducive, a secondary inoculum can be produced repeatedly. So my study focuses on the formation of appresoria influenced by the temperature. So the appresorium is the fungal structure that penetrates the host epidermal cells. Unlike many other plant pathogens, Colitotrichum cereale do not need a natural opening or wounds to get into the host. Instead, pressure just builds up in the appresoria and helps the pathogen to get in. So although appresoria formation is not necessarily equal to disease, I think it is an important step of the infection process. And moreover, most of the fungicides we use to control anthracnose have only preventative effects instead of the curative effects. If we can figure out the optimal temperature range for appresoria formation, it may help schedule preventative fungicide applications. So the objective of this study is to determine the temperature range that favors appresoria formation of Colitotrichum cereale. We tested two fungal isolates on two different turf grass hosts. Two-pot annual bluegrass and pancross creeping benchgrass were grown in pots containing calcium clay for 3 weeks. Grasses were grown at 24-22 Celsius degree with 24 hours continuous low light. 10 milliliters of distilled water was added into each pot for every other day, and no fertilizers was applied, and grasses were not trimmed during the experiment. Fungal isolate 17CHF2 was from New Jersey, and GBGC2 was from North Carolina. Sporulation of the pathogen was induced by incubating the PDA cultures under continuous low light for 2 weeks. And conidia were harvested and suspended in distilled water. The concentration of the spore suspension was adjusted to 10 to the 6 spores per milliliter. And 1.5 centimeter long detached leaves of each grass were immersed in spore suspension for 5 minutes. 5 leaf blades of each grass were placed into a petri dish with a double layer of filter paper. 2 milliliters of distilled water was added into each plate to prevent desiccation of the leaf, and all plates were covered with leaves to maintain a high relative humidity. Each plate was replicated twice. All plates were incubated in dark growth chambers set at one of the following temperatures, 12, 18, 22, 26, 30, and 34 Celsius degree. Every 24 hours, we added another additional 1 milliliter of distilled water to keep the high relative humidity. One leaf blade of each grass was taken out at 6, 12, 24, 48, and 72 hours after inoculation and placed into acetic alcohol for 48 hours to remove the chlorophyll, then into 0.05% trypan-blue for 48 hours for staining, finally into lactophenol for 24 hours to remove the excessive stain. After that, they were all ready for the microscopic examination. The picture shows the melanized aprisoria. Actually, both hyphae and canidia can form aprisoria, but in my study, the aprisoria produced by the hyphae didn't count. And the picture on the right shows that under proper temperatures, one single canidium can form two aprisoria. At 22 Celsius degree after 72 hours, we can see the leaf surface became really crowded. These are all aprisoria. And the pathogen produced a acerviolae as early as 72 hours. Interestingly, the acerviolae was only observed at 24 Celsius degree. And you may also notice that the aggressive hyphal growth, which indicated the start of the damaging necrotrophic stage, and it was not observed under early hours. This graph illustrates the percentage of canidia that produce aprisoria after a certain period of incubation under different temperatures. So on each leaf blade, we arbitrarily selected 25 canidia and examined them for aprisoria formation, and the percentage was calculated. The x-axis stands for the hours post-inoculation or hours of incubation, while the y-axis stands for the percentage of aprisoria formation. This is the results of the New Jersey isolate on annual bluegrass. We can see that the optimal temperature range for aprisoria formation was from 18 to 26 Celsius degree. When temperature is lower, in this case 12 Celsius degree, it only delays the peak, but cannot stop the development, and it ultimately got to the same level. When temperature was greater than 30 Celsius degree, we can see the percentage of aprisoria formation dropped off dramatically. This is the result of the same fungal isolate on creeping benchgrass. Pretty much the same results, and I think it's quite reasonable since we use the detached leaves instead of the intact plants. This is the North Carolina isolate tested on creeping benchgrass. It has the same similar trends with the optimal temperature range and a delay of the low temperature as well as the inhibition of the high temperature. We noticed that the southern isolate had a better performance under high temperature, which indicated that it is better adapted to the warmer climate. And I need to point out that at that time, somebody else was using the growth chamber, so I could not change the temperature this at. And we ran out of the annual bluegrass seed, and so we do not have the result for that. So the take-home messages are aprisoria formation occurred at all temperatures tested, and the optimal range was from 18 to 28 Celsius degree, depends on the isolates. And we know that the most severe symptoms for anthracnose occur when the average daily temperature are between 22 to 28 Celsius degree with a 12-hour or longer of leaf wetness. but abrasorial formation seems to take place at lower temperatures. The data from this work may help schedule preventative fungicide applications and regarding the interactions between hosts and the pathogen, I think further study on intact plant is quite necessary. I gratefully thank the people listed above, and with that, I'd like to take any questions.
All right, if there's no questions, let's thank our speakers.